Good evening. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church. Wednesday evening service, April 2nd. See, most of you know that's wrong. Today's April 1st, right? It's April Fool's Day. But we're glad that you're here tonight with us. We hope you have enjoyed the service. Hopefully you had a wonderful day. Hopefully everybody's still healthy and safe. And we're praying for you. And we covet your prayers also. Looking forward to tonight's service. We're going to go over one of those great questions of the Bible during the message time, but we are going to have some congregational singing and a special music song, and just looking forward to how God's going to work tonight here at Faith Baptist Church, also at Faith Baptist Church in your home. So let's begin the service with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for today. Lord, what a great God you are. Thankful for the opportunity to serve you. Thankful that we can trust in you. Thankful that you care for us. And Lord, we know tonight's usually a night that we call Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting. And Lord, we're anxious to always carry one another's burdens to you, Lord, because we care for one another. And Lord, tonight we are laying a lot of different things that's on our heart at your feet. And Lord, you know what's on our heart. You know the things that people are struggling with. You know the sicknesses that people are dealing with. Lord, you know the hurts that some people are dealing with. And God, we lift up our Faith Baptist Church family and ask you to bless it. Also ask you to protect us and keep us safe during these uncertain times. And Lord, we're asking for a blessing tonight during the service. It's a challenge to watch something on a screen and get as much out of it as if they were here in person. But Lord, we know that that's what we have for this moment. And Lord, we're asking that you work even a greater way that the different devices that are being used. Lord, we pray that you have your people's hearts prepared and ready for the preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, the enjoyable time where we get a chance to worship you. Lord, I pray that whether they're alone or with a group of people, that they will just silently surrender their heart to whatever it is you have in store for them tonight. Thank you for your wonderful word. Looking forward to diving into it tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, having congregational singing, we're going to start off with our theme song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship, because that's what we've met to do. I know it's not all in one location, but we've come together with a heart of worship, asking God to bless, and he is worthy of our worship. So we're going to have Brother Jim come and lead us in our theme song.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Our first song, other song, is number 14, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sing all three verses, please.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
And the last.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen, amen. What a great song. I know on Tuesday morning in my devotion time, I was going through that song, and during a portion of my devotion time, I usually sing a hymn, and thankfully only God's around to hear it. But I saw this song as one of the reasons why we chose it to sing tonight, just because it's so appropriate for the day and time that we live in. Listen to these words: "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father." Once again, we have a heavenly Father. He is someone we can approach. He's someone we have access to, but he's someone that is also amazing. "There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." And it says, "Great is thy faithfulness, great is my faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided." Wow. What a wonderful God that we serve. Praise the Lord for that. I know I got encouragement out of that yesterday, and I would encourage you during your devotion times to look at the great hymns of faith and just read through some of those words or sing some of those words. Be led by the Spirit of God, which songs it is, but a wonderful way to worship and praise the Lord during your own private devotion time. Just a couple quick announcements. First, we've done something a little bit to just help people feel a little bit more comfortable. Churches around the country, has some people have been notified in the fact that be careful with the mail, because sometimes, unfortunately, people are looking for when people deliver the mail, and they're stealing the mail from the churches because they think people will be sending their tithes and offerings in. So what we've done to try to help rectify that, we've actually got a P.O. box. So if you would like to send your tithes and offerings in through the mail, we encourage you to use a P.O. box. Tomorrow when the bulletin goes out, or on Friday when the bulletin goes out, the P.O. box will be at the top of the bulletin. If you'd like to call and get the P.O. box number, that's fine too. But if you like to send something to the church when it comes in form of your tithes or offerings, that's the way that we're going to do, is through the P.O. box, just to make sure it's safe. Let me say, we have not had any problems. No one has stolen anything, at least not that we know of. All our mail has been there and every day, but we don't know exactly what time the post office is going to drop the mail off. Sometimes it changes different times of different days. So we feel like this is a safe way to help just protect those that are sending in their tithes and offerings during this time of uncertainty. And because of that, it was an inexpensive rental, and we'll keep it for the short period of time that's needed for that. I want to say thank you for those who've been faithful with their tithes and offerings. We had a really good offering last week, and people have been already dropping off their offerings this week. And you're welcome to do that by dropping it off here. If you want somebody to come down to the car and get it, we'll even provide curbside service if we're here. But if not, I encourage you to just go ahead and send it in through the mail. We've been still working on the online giving. We just haven't found the right item or the right platform to use just yet. So because of that, we encourage you to either just drop it off or send it in the mail as the Lord leads you. Also, what we're doing with our prayer requests is we're making up a prayer list. As we make up this prayer list, we are mailing it out in our bulletin either on Thursday or Friday every week. Or if you do not have an email, we are sending it through a hard copy in the mail. So if you do not get one email by Saturday morning, please let us know. We've gotten a lot of people to give us their emails addresses. Some people have texted them to me, and I'm good at missing things sometimes. So if you want to make sure it gets done, you can give it to my wife. If you want to make sure it almost always gets done, you can send it to me or you can call the church office. But it might have been overlooked a little bit, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that and get this bulletin, be praying for these requests. It's a great way to share burdens of one another. I do want to share one request that Bill Legg had called earlier and mentioned, and he says pray for Hope for Life. Now, Hope for Life is a ministry that's offered by a lady named Sherry Britt, and they're up at Virginia Beach, and what they're doing is trying to give people an option from having an abortion. So they stand outside of Planned Parenthood. They offer things such as sonograms and other services to try to encourage people not to abort babies or murder the babies that are in the womb. And today is the first time, but she has been cited for breaking the ordinance for the stay-at-home ordinance. So they asked to be praying for that. It's the thought that she works out in the public. She has her own little vehicle there that helps with that. And, you know, it's amazing that the government's saying that someone can't have a surgery they need, but they can have an abortion, because an abortion's essential. Mr. Parker's going to be singing special music in a little while, and I don't think he can have his surgery that he needs for his shoulder because it's a non-essential surgery right now, from what I understand. But they're saying abortions are something that they have to keep on letting happen. So there's a little mix-up there. And so we need to make sure we're praying for a government to make wise choices, but also praying that we get a government that fears God and does what's right. And so we're thankful for the opportunities we've had here as a church family to be able to pray. And I think this is a good thing to pray for. The rest of the requests that will be noticed will be on that prayer list bulletin. You say, Pastor, mine didn't get on the list. Well, let us know so we can put it on the list next week. Once again, this is new for us. If you text it, or if you call it in, or if you email it in, we'll do our best. If something's missing, it's not because we don't like you. It's just something that maybe was overlooked, and we want your help and your requests. Another thing is, I want to say I've been very encouraged with people with the encouraging words. Number of people, when the service gets done, people are texting saying how much they enjoyed the service. People are talking about how God's been working in their heart in a special way, even seeing some sprouts of revival in people's hearts and lives. And I'm excited about those things. And I even different people saying how God's been using some of the messages to be able to encourage and share with others, whether through Facebook sharing or whether sending the messages or their links out to other people. So I let the Lord lead you and guide you on those things. But it's been a really wonderful, encouraging time. I was talking to a pastor yesterday. He says, what do you think about these times? I said, they're exciting times. He said, what? He said, are you crazy? Exciting times? I said, they are. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm excited to see how God's going to work. I'm excited to see what God can make happen, not only in our lives individually, but in our churches, but also in our states and throughout our country and even throughout the world. But it's not going to happen in your own life unless we take time to spend some time alone with the Lord. But thank you for coming by via live stream tonight or through the internet tonight. We pray that you enjoy the service and looking forward to how God's going to work everything out in this day and time.
Okay, for our last song tonight, let's turn to Sweet Hour of Prayer, 356. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sing all three verses, please. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress. And grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall mine. Petition there to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for the sweet hour of prayer. And the last, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Consider the lilies. They don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they reap nor sow, but they're fed by the Master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But he's not too busy to care about you. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. We are going to look at one of those great questions of the Bible. And I know we've been leaving those for the most part for Sunday morning or Sunday evening, but the Lord laid this upon my heart. A question that I knew when we were thinking about this topic or this theme for considering for the year. And one of these topics and questions that came to my mind, one of the first questions that came to mind, is a question that we've looked at before in the past, even back in the summer of 2018. I believe it was May 2018. We looked at this thought, and God laid it upon my heart, especially with the encouragement and the challenge we gave on Sunday night. Maybe you didn't hear Sunday night's message, or maybe you missed the challenge part of it, challenging those in our church that are willing to pray an hour a day. This does not mean an hour extra from what you've done, but to pray for an hour a day at least till the state of emergency is taken off. Now, if you want to continue doing it afterwards, of course you can. If you pray more than an hour, then obviously we're not encouraging you to do more. But there's probably most Christians that do not spend an hour alone each day with the Lord in prayer. And about the summer before that, in 2018, we talked about a prayer journey. We talked about 12 different steps that you can spend about 5 minutes each. And by doing that, you can spend an hour in prayer. And we're going to maybe even send some little videos out some uploading to the YouTube channel, a little bit of short videos to encourage you with those different steps. I'm not saying that people have to pray for an hour. There's no magical number that's there, but I want to encourage people to be praying. And we'll probably even be a little bit different as you grow and as you learn things. In 2018, there was those 12 different steps. I'm probably going to tweak it a little bit and maybe send out some different short videos just encouraging people with different things or different stops on the prayer journey. As I mentioned earlier, Great is Thy Faithfulness was one of those songs that we had heard, and that's something I do during my devotion time, my prayer time. I sing to the Lord. And it's encouraging. It's uplifting when you're reading those words and when you're seeing those words and those encouraging things. Boy, it helps me in my devotion time. The question for tonight, which is also the title of tonight's message, is found in Matthew chapter number 26, when Jesus asked Peter this specific question, found in verse number 40: "What could you not watch with me 1 hour? What could you not watch with me 1 hour?" So what the Lord is saying here to Peter, he had asked Peter and James and John to watch with him for an hour, which means stay awake, which means stay alert, which means to be spiritually on guard while he was getting ready to go and pray to the Father and go through one of the most difficult times that any person's ever been put through. He says, "Look, can you help me? Can you stay awake? Can you stay alert? Can you watch with me 1 hour?" And once again, as we've learned before, as a understanding of these great questions of the Bible, when God asks man a question, we know Jesus is God. When God asks man a question, he's not doing it to learn something. He's doing it to teach the individual something about himself or teach the individual something about God. Now, in this case, as in most cases, it's both. He's teaching Peter something about himself, and he's also teaching Peter something about God himself too. Now, I want you to picture the scene here, and with Easter coming up very quickly, and I know we're not going to get to have our Easter program this year, and what we decided to do with the uncertainty, we've just decided to wait till next year. And if you have a part in the Easter play, you were going to encourage you to do it again next year. So those things you've been working on, those things you've been studying, those lines you've been going over, we're hoping that the same people that we've already asked to do it and have already got them ready with their wardrobe and things like that, and is that we're hoping they'll still do it again next year. And I think God's going to bless next year, and I know the choir's already worked a little bit on it. But as the season is coming upon us with Easter, I was planning on preaching this message the Sunday night before Easter, but the Lord just kind of led me to here, especially with the streams, live service streams, and wanting to get some of these thoughts and things into people's hearts and minds about that challenge of praying an hour a day. And I did have a response. I did have a number of responses of people saying, "Hey, Pastor, we're with you. We're going to be praying. We're taking the challenge." And if that's the case, and you plan on trying to do that also, please let me know. And I know some even said, "Hey, we're praying for shorter periods of time." And there's no magical point of 1 hour. But it's saying, "Hey, I'm going to spend some quality time alone with God on a regular basis, day in and day out, because it's necessary." So when you're thinking about this, remember God is speaking to Peter on purpose to try to teach Peter something about himself, but also teach Peter something about God. And while he's doing this, remember it's God. He's doing it with the perfect attitude. So many times we read these questions of the Bible and we think about with Adam, "Where art thou?" He's angry and he's mad. I don't think that's the case at all. I see a loving heavenly Father seeking Adam, revealing to Adam, "Hey, look, you're in a place you shouldn't be. How did you get here? Where are you headed?" He's trying to teach him something. The same thing with Peter. I see Jesus looking at Peter and saying that Peter, with even maybe with his eyes, saying, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He's saying to him, Peter, earlier you said that you would die for me. Earlier you said you would never deny me. And you really were sincere when you believed that, but you need to learn something about yourself, Peter. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And hopefully it will help us, and hopefully it'll be something that will encourage us with our walk with God, and also spur some of us to take this challenge seriously and say, you know what? I need to, whether it's Pastor Pease knows about the commitment or not, I need to make sure I'm being serious with my prayer time and with my devotion time. As I mentioned on Sunday night, what is it going to take to get American Christians serious about their walk with God? And we looked on Sunday morning about all those different things that happened in the nation of Israel, and says, yet thou return not unto me. What will it take to get America on its knees? And right now, you go down to the major cities and the major streets of like New Orleans and the major streets that are in Miami and major streets that are there, and they're bare. You go to Los Angeles, there's so much. Now, who could have done that? I mean, only this virus could have stopped that, but God allowed this to happen, and there's a reason, there's a purpose, and we should let it soften our hearts. We should let God be working all the time, but there is something that's going on in this world today that Jesus would look at us and say, isn't it worth praying more over? Could you not really take some more time to spend with me with all the things that are going on? Are you really not taking time to spend time with me? Especially for those that maybe have a little bit smaller of a schedule, those that are at home, those that do not have as many things to do. And don't get me wrong, I understand when I thought all the different things were going to happen, I thought that my time would increase, I'd be able to get more things done, I'll also be able to get things caught up, but it seems like it's less and less time. It seems like we're doing more and more trying to keep in contact with people and trying to get things accomplished. But we're thankful for that. But at the same time, if you have some extra time in your hands, is it really asking too much? I mean, God is not expecting you to go fix the virus. God is not expecting you to come up with the remedy. Just like Peter saying, hey, look, I'll die for you. Jesus wasn't saying, hey, I want you to die for me. I want you to watch with me for 1 hour. Peter said, you know, I'll never deny you. No. Hey, Peter, don't make these bold statements. All I want you to do there is do the things I've asked you to do. We were reading family devotions last night about what made Noah extraordinary. It wasn't the fact that he was this great carpenter and was able to build an ark because he had the great designs. It wasn't. The Bible talks about how he obeyed God. He listened to what God said, and he did it. That's what made him extraordinary, was he was obedient. You know, Noah did not, to our knowledge, have any. No one at that point in time had built something that large. No one had ever built an ark. And people are saying, man, look what Noah did. It's not about what Noah did. It's look what God did with Noah. It's about God in this. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach Peter here. Peter was very bold. Peter was very confident in himself. Peter was someone who said, hey, though all others may, not me. But Peter had to learn something about himself. And that's what Jesus wants to teach him. And tonight I'd like to teach that once again and remind us that our spirit may be willing. And the Spirit of God that lives within us, praise the Lord, he is always willing. He is willing for you to get right. He's willing to give you direction. He's willing to give you leadership. But the flesh is weak. So let's look here and jump in here in Matthew chapter number 26. And I think we're just going to go ahead and start off in verse number 30. But before that, let's ask God's blessing on the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want you to bless this. Lord, we want you to use this. Lord, I pray for each person that hears, whether it be tonight or right now or even weeks, months, years in the future, God, that this would be a help. And Lord, this would be a challenge that people would take up and say, yes, I'm willing to watch with you 1 hour, that I'm willing to pray. Yes, I understand that my flesh is weak, and because my flesh is weak, I want to be on guard and I want to be alert and I want to be fighting the good fight. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Encourage us through your word. Help us to consider that great question, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? In Jesus' name, amen. So verse number 30 is where we're going to start off, but Jesus had just instituted the Lord's Supper, and it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them. Now, so Jesus is here and he's talking to the disciples. There is 11. Judas is gone at this point in time. For all we know, there's 11 disciples. Now, there might have been a few others with them, but at least 11 are there. And he uses this word, and I have it underlined in my Bible, all. He's referring to all of them. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So Jesus is teaching them something. He is telling them something. He is not condemning them. He is just making sure they understand what is going on. And he says in verse number 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So we see as he's heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, he tells them, I am going to rise again. I am going to go before you. So they should not have been surprised by the resurrection. But their focus is on other things. Earlier in that night, he had heard that one of them was going to betray them. If you go to John chapter 14, which would have been the similar area that this is about, it talks about how their hearts were being troubled. And here, Jesus is saying to them, look, you're all going to be offended by me tonight. Verse 33, Peter kind of pipes up, and Peter's known for speaking out. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. So he's there, and he says, though all men. So what is he saying? Jesus says to the 11, you're going to be offended. Peter says, though all men. So he's referring to the other 10. He says, Lord, I'm not really worried about myself, but I know what you're saying about these other 10. You know, I know you said one of them was going to betray you, and they know that that's Judas. We know that. But at that point in time, they probably didn't even understand that at that moment in time. And as they're traveling, he says, though all men. Peter is saying, I don't know about everybody else, but what Peter really doesn't know, he doesn't know himself. Peter is saying, hey, I don't know about these other 10 guys, whether they're going to be offended by you or not, but I know something about me. And the reality is Peter had no idea what his flesh was able to do. And here's the thought behind the message is, we really truly don't know what our flesh is capable of doing. And that's why the Bible tells us to starve the flesh. And the Bible talks about how to deny the flesh, to diet to the flesh, all those different things. And we say, that's over the top. That's too much. You know, Jesus is giving them some instruction here. Jesus is saying to them, hey, look, this is going to happen tonight. And Peter's like, it's not going to happen to me. Let's keep on going. In verse 34, Jesus tells Peter something else. He says, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He says, Peter, those 10 are going to be offended of me. But you're going to deny me three times. And look what it says in verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the disciples. So Peter, once again, speaking boldly, speaking confidently in his flesh, and Jesus is correcting him. Let me just kind of start off with the first point here, and it's going to kind of just walk through this passage of Scripture tonight, but the first point is Peter's confidence in himself, Peter's confidence in his flesh. What you see is going on here, Peter is filled with pride. He believes that Jesus is the Messiah. He believes that Jesus is God. He believes that Jesus is going to start a kingdom, but he will not listen to Jesus when it comes to himself. He believes when he says, yeah, maybe that's true for those other 10, but don't lump me in with those 10. And I want you to get to this point, and once you get to this understanding, is our flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. You're going to see that later on, but our flesh is very weak, and that's why we need to be on guard. That's why the Bible tells us to watch and pray. That's why the Bible tells us to do all types of things to help our flesh be defeated. But so often we think, oh yeah, teenagers need to hear that. I love it when the adults turn around and says, yeah, our teens need to really work on that, when the adults haven't done anything for God for a long time. Obviously, that's not all adults, but that's the same thing. I'm worried about the next generation. Well, I understand what you're saying. What about yourself? That's what Peter is saying. Hey, I'm worried about these other guys, everybody else, but I'm good. And when we get so strong in our flesh, we realize how weak we are spiritually. We need to understand that, yes, the Spirit is definitely willing. Peter was there, and Peter was, I believe, very sincerely saying, I'll die with you. Peter's the one that pulled out the sword and tried to cut the guy's head off and hit his ear instead. He's the one that believed in himself. But that's not the type of power God's looking for. That's not the type of power God needs. Think about it. If there was minimum 600 guys that came to get Jesus, Peter's one sword couldn't have done much, could it? Peter was expecting that God's power would help through that. God doesn't need our flesh. God needs people that will sit and people that will watch and people that will pray and the people that can spend time with him and getting spiritually strong and being spiritually renewed. But here you see the confidence that Peter has. It's a confidence in the flesh. And that's something that God cannot use. Humility is something that God can use. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. Peter here is not being, I don't know, I read over this again and I look back and say, well, why didn't Peter fall on his face and say, Lord, I never want to deny you. Lord, please tell me that's not true. Lord, help me see how I will not deny you. I understand, Lord, I understand you're God. And because of that, please, I don't want to ever deny you. I don't want to ever be offended by you. Please show me and tell me. But he doesn't. In his pride, he says, I can handle this. I can take this on. The reality is we need God in every area of our life. We need God in every step of our life. We need God in every direction of our life. And when we humbly fall before him and we humbly say, you know what? I need you, God. That's when we can make a difference. Let's keep on going. You see the Peter's confidence. The second thing, you see the Lord's request. I want you to pick up here in verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So he has the 11. He puts the 8 over here. He takes the 3. Now these 3 are known as kind of the inner circle. These 3 are the ones that on the mount, that's all Mount Transfiguration. These 3 are probably 3 of Jesus' best friends, definitely the closest ones he is and his disciples. These are the 3 that he's going to bring and allow them to see what is going on here. He brings them there. He said, why is he bringing them there? And there's a couple different thoughts there, but one of the main reasons is I think is Peter needs to learn a lesson here. Peter needs to understand something about himself. He brings these 3. But look at the description that gave at the end of verse 37. And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, from a human perspective, once again, he was God and he was man at the same time. He was just as much God as ever, and he became man all at the same time. He's God. He can do that. He was the God-man. But he became sorrowful and very heavy. His heart was hurting. He knew what he was getting ready to face. It was a very trying, hard times. Remember, he sweat great drops of blood. This is something that he was dealing with, and he looks to his friends, and he brings those that are closer to him, and he says, look, my heart is heavy. My heart is sorrowful. And then continues in verse number 36. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. He is telling them, look, I am going through something and I'm looking for your help. And he's teaching them something. Does he need human help? No, he doesn't. But he is looking to teach Peter something. He is saying to Peter, and he's saying to the other disciples here, look, this is the hardest thing that anyone's ever going to ever face. Now, I want you to do something for me. If it was during this time, this moment, I want your help. And it says here, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He says, tarry ye here and watch with me. He says, this is what I'm asking you to do. I don't want you to draw up a battle plan of what you can do in the flesh. I don't want you to think about, hey, when the soldiers came, Peter get this one and John get this one and James get the ones. He doesn't say that. He says, all I want you to do, and this is what he's saying here. He says, all I want you to do is tarry ye here and watch with me. That watch gives the idea of spiritual alertness, that idea of prayerfulness. That means stay awake, be alert, be on guard. And then it continues on in verse number 39. He went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We think about the cup as a representation of the cross. And you imagine what it was like for the Holy Lamb of God to have all the sins of the world placed on him. You can imagine that's something that no one would be able to figure. I could sit here and try to explain and describe it. I wouldn't do it justice at all, but it was something that was unbearable. And here, Jesus goes through this for us. And he says, I'm willing to do it, Lord, if that's what you want. But here's what it says in verse number 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth him asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So he looks at them. He had just told the three, Look, I'm exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I feel like this is just as bad or worse than death. And he says, I want you to do something for me. I want you to stay alert. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to be alert, and I want you to be watching. I want you to be there for me. He goes and he prays, and we think it's for an hour because he says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he goes over and doesn't say he wakes up James. Doesn't say he wakes up John, but he says to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he's teaching him something. He's showing him, Peter, you said all these things just earlier, hours earlier. You said, hey, I will never deny you. You'll say, I would die for you. I would never be offended of you. And I didn't ask you to say any of those things, Peter. Those are big words. Even earlier in the night, he says, I'll go to prison for you. Those are big things. But he couldn't do the little thing that Jesus asked him to do. So I'm wondering in your life that Jesus could say, hey, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not spend some time alone with me? I know that you're saved. I'd die for the cause of Christ. I'd be willing to go above and beyond. And what Jesus is saying, hey, look, I want you to spend time with me. And don't get me wrong, sometimes God calls us to a place that might cost us our lives. We've seen that in stories of missionaries. We know that Christians are martyred all across the world in the hundreds of thousands each year just for their faith. We know a lot of different challenging things. Sometimes God calls people to go up and go over to other parts of the world. Sometimes God calls you to go across the street. But what he's teaching Peter is something that is something I think we need to learn. He's saying, hey, Peter, you said all these big things. You made all these commitments. He says, but what I'm really interested in, what I really want you to do is I want you to spend this time staying alert. And he's showing Peter, he's teaching Peter, hey, Peter, it's not in your flesh. You're not going to be able to do it. You need God. You need God's help. Let's keep on going. He says, and then he says in verse 41, he doesn't tell him to go to sleep. He encourages him again. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he says to him, he's teaching him something about himself. He says, Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He says, now look, this is what you need to do, Peter. Pay attention. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And then he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we see the Lord's request. He's asking them to watch. He's asking them to support him. He's asking them to be there for him. He's asking them something to try to teach them something about themselves. The third thing is the lesson we all need to learn. The lesson that we all need to learn. And it's found there at the end. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. I think I'm considering what the Bible is teaching us about Peter and these other disciples. He comes back and he finds them asleep again. And he's telling us because their eyes were heavy, he's saying to them, Peter, your flesh. He's telling the whole world here in the scriptures, it's because they were human, they were flesh, they needed their sleep, they needed their rest. And Jesus is just teaching them something that's really, really important. This is how weak your flesh is. This is how much the Son of God is sitting there and saying, will you not watch with me for 1 hour? And then he wakes Peter up and he says, look, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what does he do? He can't even watch for the next hour. He falls asleep again. And it's teaching us and showing us something about the scripture. Your flesh is weak. You need God's help. You cannot handle sin on your own. You cannot handle God's will on your own. You cannot handle doing your devotions in your own flesh. You need to be dependent upon God and God alone for these things, or you're never going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish in your life. And he keeps on going, and he says, and he left him and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at the hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So in the scripture and in the story tonight, here's the question. What could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I'd like for you to just travel back in time, and if you could be the one there watching, I would have loved to see how Jesus was asking Peter this. Peter has just slept for an hour, and he was really tired. It had been a long day. If he wasn't tired, he would have stayed awake. Or he would have tried to stay awake at least a second time after he got corrected. And you see Jesus going over, and I can see him in my imagination, and we call it the sanctified imagination, some preachers do. I don't think he bothers James and John, because James and John were not being super bold at that moment in time. They weren't bragging about their flesh. They weren't bragging about what Peter, like Peter was. And he goes to Peter, and he says to Peter, "What could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Can you imagine what Peter felt like? I don't know about you, if I was me and I was there and Jesus, who I loved, Jesus, who I followed for over 3 years, Jesus, who I watched heal the sick, heal the blind, heal the lame, raise people from the dead, feed thousands of people with just a little bit of food. If I would have been there and Jesus had looked at me, and you could see in the scriptures, how many times has Jesus really asked the disciples for things? Not very often. And usually it was on a purpose and a reason to try to teach them something. This is the only thing I see him asking in scripture, to my knowledge, about prayer. This is the only time I can see them saying, "Hey, I want you to pray for me. I want you to watch for me. I want you to be spiritually alert here." And the one time he asks them to do it, they fail. And he goes to them and says, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" I don't know about you, but my heart would be broken. And I know a lot of people give Peter a hard time here. James and John were sleeping. I'm sure the other eight were back there sleeping too. And it's there, and he says, "Could you not?" And I remember the first time I thought about this, or the first time I read about this, or the first time I heard it preached, God worked on my heart in a mighty way by saying all the different things that God has done for me, all the different things that God has provided for me, all the opportunities that God has given me. He's given me a home in heaven. He's given me freedom from sin. He's given me so much. He's given me a wonderful family, a wonderful ministry. He's given me so much. And he comes to you and he says, "Hey, could you not even spend an hour a day with me?" And to me, it's convicting. It's powerful. And once again, there's nothing special about an hour. We use that hour because Jesus used that hour. And is it because Jesus went away for an hour? Or is it because that's something that is a portion of your day? We have 24 hours in a day, and he's looking at Peter and says, "Look, you said you would die for me, but why can't you pray for me? And pray. Why can't you stay spiritually alert?" And I wonder, and I thought, you know, if I'm willing to pastor a church, shouldn't I be not only willing and able, but want to pray? And I began thinking, okay, those that teach and those that have the privilege to minister, those that have the privilege to be position holders. Yeah, pastor, I'll do whatever you say you want me to do. Pastor, whatever God wants. And I think if we went around the room, now obviously not today, but if the room was filled and say, how many people would die for the cause of Christ? Someone pointed a gun at my head and said, either deny Christ or die. I think how many of us would say, you know what, I'm never going to deny my Lord and Savior. I'd be willing to give my life up for him. But that's not what Jesus is trying to teach Peter. Jesus is trying to tell him to make a difference spiritually here. It's nice that you said you would die for me. But what I want you to do right now is I want you to learn how to pray to me. I want you to learn how to pray for me. I want you to get this straight. So that way, when I call you someday to do something else, guess what? Guess what? Then you'll be ready for it. I wonder, and I know it's all speculation, but I wonder if he spent that hour praying, and he spent the next hour praying the second time he went by, I wonder if he would ever deny Christ those three times. I wonder if he had fell on his face and said, "Jesus, I know you're saying I'm going to deny you. I recognize you as God. I know you can't tell a lie. I know you know all things. Because of all those things, tell me what I need to do to not be offended of you, not to deny you. I don't want to do those things. And I think if we go before the Lord humbly and say, Lord, I know my flesh is weak. I know my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And I don't want to be one that denies you. I don't want to be one that doesn't read your Bible. I don't want to be one that doesn't pray. I don't want to be one that's ashamed and does not witness. I don't want to be one that treats my family wrong. I don't want, my flesh is weak, Lord. I need your help, Lord. Give me strength. Give me help. Give me the courage to do what is right. I'm tired of letting the flesh win. What is it I need to do to be able to stay spiritually strong? It's when we learn my flesh is weak and I need God's help every moment of every day. But so many of us, I can handle watching this TV show. I know what the Bible says, but I can handle this relationship. I know what the Bible says, but I can handle not coming to church every week, which might not be the best illustration right this second with nobody being able to come. But I can handle not giving. I can handle not being in my Bible. And we think in our flesh, I can handle this little bit of sin. I can remember, I'm willing to die for him. Remember, I'm willing to do whatever he says. But the truth is, I can't handle those things. I need God's help in every area of my life. We're looking at Peter. We're looking at the guy that in 50 days is going to be standing for, I'm sorry, in a number of months, he's going to be standing at Pentecost, and he's going to be up there. He's going to be preaching and teaching, and thousands of people are going to be saved. This is the Peter that was sent out two by two, and he saw results. Devils were cast out by Peter by the name of Jesus. He had done great things in the past. He had done great things in the future, but at that moment in time, Jesus was teaching him something. Hey, it's not about what you did in the past, and it's not about what you're going to do in the future. It's today. Are you going to feed your spirit? Or are you going to continue to feed your flesh? I think to me, this is a of the great questions of the Bible. This is one of the ones that hit home most personally. Because I consider how many times did Jesus really ask his disciples for anything personal? How many times did he say, I want you to do this for me? And he was teaching Peter something. And the whole, I think he set the whole thing up, being God, knowing that they're going to fall asleep, to teach Peter an important lesson. But you notice at that moment, Peter doesn't stay awake for the second hour. Maybe if he had gotten it, and the clue would have clicked in at that moment in time, he says, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to fall asleep again. Help me. Show me what I'm not going to do. I wonder if he maybe wouldn't have denied Christ. I'm wondering if he would have wanted a different power in the garden than what his sword could have done. I'm wondering if he got by the Sea of Galilee when the disciples were brought together and Jesus was frying that fish up, and Peter was still struggling even then. Peter was still wondering whether or not I truly love Christ the way I should. Remember, lovest thou me. He didn't get it the first time. It seems like he didn't get it the second time. It seems like he still didn't get it until on that day when the fire was there, and Jesus looks at him and says, lovest thou me more than these? And it's a continual thing that maybe Peter had to learn things the hard way, or Peter had to learn things a little bit slower than the rest of us, but it's something that Peter has to get, and it's something we have to understand. It is a truth or a lesson that needs to be known, that our spirit indeed is willing, our spirit indeed is able, our spirit indeed wants to do great things for God. He wants to glorify God, the spirit that lives inside of us. But our flesh is very, very weak. That's why the Lord tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. That's why he says it's a battle. That's why he calls it a warfare. That's why he calls it something like mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. What is it? It's the weapons or our warfare. They're mighty through God. They're not mighty in our flesh. We cannot conquer the devil in our own strength. But so often we feel like, oh, I can stop this area of my spiritual life. It's not going to hurt me if I don't spend time alone with God. I'm going to be able to handle this. I'm going to be just fine. But then we see failure, and we wonder why the failure came. We see that we fall asleep in the time that we're supposed to be being alert. We see that we deny him. We see that we're offended by him. We see that we think that we are something great, but in all reality, we're no greater than what we let God in our lives to be. we got to remember our flesh, it's weak, and we need God's help. We need to get up in the morning, and we need to get in our Bibles, and we need to pray. We need to get in the morning, and whether it be on the knees or sitting on your couch or whatever it is, and cry out to God and say, God, my spirit is definitely willing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God and the spirit that dwells in me. Let me feed that spirit more than I feed my flesh. Let me stop making excuses, thinking I can handle a little bit of sin in my life. I can handle a little bit of bitterness. I can handle a little bit of anger. I can handle a little bit of trash on the TV. I can handle a little bit of bad music. I can handle all these little things. I can do this because I'm willing to die for Christ. And what Jesus is saying, nobody's asking you to die. But what I'm asking you to do is to watch. What I'm asking you is to be spiritually alert. What I'm asking you to do is to pray for 1 hour. Once again, whatever time you decide, an hour might not be enough for you. You might need, the Lord might be reaching you to more. I remember in studying and reaching, there's preachers that would pray for 4 or 5 hours a day. I don't do that. At the same time, God might be calling you to increase your prayer time from 10 minutes to 20 minutes, 20 minutes to 40 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour. But don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil deceive you that you can do it without God. That's exactly what's happening with Peter here. He does not want to listen to the word of God. He does not want to obey the word of God. He does not want to hear, you're going to be offended by me if, and he's like, nope, I'm not going to. Peter, you're going to deny me. Nope, I'm not going to. And the Bible says over and over, your sin will find you out. You'll reap what you sow. And we continually and constantly say, nope, it's not going to happen to me. Nope, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. But you know what's going to happen? Your flesh is going to end up winning when it comes to certain areas. And that's when Peter denies Christ. And that's when Peter leaves weeping. That's when Peter goes back to fishing. That's when, you know, all those different things that happen. Because he never learned this truth. Yes, my spirit has great plans for me. But my flesh is super weak. I need to make sure that I feed the spiritual side more than the fleshly side. I need to give over to God. I've got to stop making up the excuses. God's not asking me, as of right now, to leave where I'm at, to go to another part of the world and die for him. But I'm never going to be ready to do that if I'm not willing to learn how to watch with him for 1 hour. So how do you know that Peter wasn't willing to die for him? Well, why else did he, when Jesus wasn't there, why else would he say that he never knew Jesus? He was afraid. They said, you were with him. He's like, nope, it wasn't me. They said, you were with him. Nope, your speech betrayed. And then the little girl says, you were with him. I said, and he says, no, and he curses and he denied him 3 times because he was afraid of what was going to happen. What happened just hours early? I'll die for you. If he was willing to die for you, he meant that. You know what would have happened? He would have said, of course I know. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He doesn't. How come many times we shy away from knowing him? I honestly believe it's because we don't spend that time in the morning with him like we should. How come we struggle with sin like we do so often and so much? It's because we don't have good quality time. And I'm not just talking about reading our Bible and praying and checking off a list. I'm talking about communing with God. I'm talking about spending time with God, spending time with the Lord. How often is it that we have the wrong reactions, we have the wrong this, the wrong that? It's because we've never learned, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I always, when I think of this passage of Scripture, I always like going back to that story about Naaman, the leper. And then he said, what does that have to do with anything? Well, he comes to Elisha, and he wants Elisha to heal him from his leprosy. And Elisha doesn't even come to the door. He sends his servant out. His servant says, hey, go tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman walks away. He's angry. He's this big, important general of this great, great country. And he's mad. And one of his servants comes up to him and says, hey, Naaman, if he asked you to do something great, would you have done it? And the thought is, if Elisha would have asked for millions of dollars, he would have given it to him. If Elisha would have asked for someone to go out and defeat an army, Naaman would have done it. But the point was, Elisha asked him to do something that was simple. something that would give God and God alone the credit. God and God alone the glory. And here, Naaman's sermon says, if he's asking you to do something as simple as this, why don't you try it? And I'm wondering, when it comes to our prayer life and our Bible reading, I know some people who would work for hours upon hours upon hours to accomplish something for the Lord in the Lord's name. But what God wants you to learn how to do first is to bow the knee and to pray and spend time with him. That's the first thing that he wants you to learn how to do. You ever met somebody that says, pastor or whatever, I'll do anything I can to help you. Yeah, you name it. I'll do this or this or this. And then you give them a simple task and they're not willing to do it. That's what I imagine here with Peter. He was willing to die for him. When it came up to it, he didn't have the strength to do it because spiritually he wasn't ready. Now, when Jesus is there, he's willing to cut off the ear, but when it came to him and the enemy alone, he failed. Peter, what I want you to do right now is I want you to watch with me 1 hour. Didn't do it. And he says, even after waking up, he says, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation, meaning that the sin is there. The devil is real. The devil is going to tempt him. The devil was there during that time. It was with Judas Iscariot. And he was there, I'm sure, in the garden trying to get Jesus to not be willing. He's doing whatever he can to try to tempt the Lord. And he's there. He says, look, that you enter not in temptation. And he tells him, the spirit indeed is willing. Peter, I see what you want to accomplish. I understand your charisma, your desire, your strength that you have in yourself, but that's not enough. That's not going to make it over the long haul. That's not going to make it when things really count. Peter, yes, your spirit is willing and ready and able, but this flesh is what's going to stop you. Watch and pray. So what are you saying, Pastor? If I watch and I pray, then I'm not going to have struggles with the flesh? We're always still going to have a battle, but you're going to be ready to win that battle. What does it say? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto his word, unto thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against these. What is that saying? These are spiritual battles you can win because you've taken time to spend alone with God and his word. Your flesh is really weak. I know my flesh is weak. Even when the Apostle Paul talked about it, the things that he would want to do, those are the things he doesn't do. Those things that he wish he wouldn't do, those are the things he ends up doing because his flesh, when he lets his flesh win. And in our Christian lives, we got to get a hold of this. Every day, I can't handle today without spending time alone with God. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to fail just like Peter did. Now, I might have made a commitment at an altar. I might have made a commitment before God. Lord, whatever you want, I'll even die for you. I'll go to prison for you. I'll never deny you. I'll never be offended by you. I'll always say your name. I will always sing your praises. I'll always tell other people just the same things Peter was saying. But we'll never be ready for that day until we humbly fall on our face and say, Lord, help me not to deny you. Because I know in my own flesh, I could. Help me not to be offended because of you. Because in my own flesh, even though I think I never would ever do that, in my flesh I could. Help me not to do these things, Lord. I know I need your help. I know I'm dependent upon you. I am denying my flesh. I am trying to kill my pride. And I realize that anything that's good about me, all these desires, all these things that are good, comes from the Spirit of God. And that's what I want to embrace. And that's what I want to be a part of. And it begins by watching and praying. It begins with that 1 hour a day or however long a day it is. Jesus has said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He was saying, you're saying you're willing to do all these things for me, but you couldn't even do the simple thing. Let's get good at doing the simple thing. These great questions of the Bible, this is one of the most heart-tendering ones in my mind because I see the Savior that is getting ready to die for the sins of mankind. And it says extremely, exceedingly sorrowful. And I can hear the passion in his heart trying to teach Peter something. teaching people all the way to the cross. He said, will you not watch with me? Tarry here and watch. Then he says, could you not watch 1 hour? Then he says, watch and pray. That's why you know he's talking about prayer here. It's because he says, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. He says, I don't want you to do the things you're getting ready to do. But the only way you're going to stop that is when you learn how to watch, which means be spiritually alert, and to pray. Because why? Yes, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Don't think that you can play around with sin and that you can handle a little bit of sin. It just won't happen. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the words that are said tonight could be a help and a blessing and encourager to all those that are listening. And Lord, I pray that this be a message that will either, number one, reaffirm commitments we've made about our prayer time and our Bible reading, or to remind us of the commitments that we've made that maybe we've fallen short of. Or even, Lord, for those who spend the day without reading their Bible or spending time with you. Lord, that once again this will soften their hearts. When they see the loving Savior who sweat great drops of blood in this garden, coming and saying, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Help us to understand that in the morning time when we want to keep on sleeping. Is it so much to ask you to get up and spend some time with me? Lord, speak to our hearts. Be a help. Lord, help us to take this challenge, not a challenge that I thought of, but Lord, one that you laid upon my heart to bring to our people to pray for 1 hour. Pray for an hour all the way up to the time that this national emergency or this state of emergency is lifted. And that God, we would be a people seeking revival. We're never going to be able to do the great things that our spirit is interested in doing until we can learn to watch and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that's it for Wednesday night, April 1st, 2020. I pray you get a blessing from the service. Like I said, it's either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I'm going to send out a couple short clips. Not sure how I'm going to do that yet. If we do not have your email address, that's something we can do it from. We'll probably just be posting it on the YouTube channel. So if you want updates when those little videos are going to come, we can do that through the email or through texting. But I don't want to be annoying and bothering everybody because I don't know if everybody's going to want to watch it. So if you want updates of when I'm going to post something, you let me know that and we'll do our best to keep up in contact with you. Please be praying for us. We're praying for you. We're doing our best to try to call and spend a few minutes with most of the people and see if there's any type of needs. And we're going to keep on doing that, whether it's my wife or myself or someone from the church that wants to just help by visiting. But I would encourage you to keep up with one another. It's the one thing I've noticed in talking to people. Lots of people, I don't want to say they're lonely, but they're missing fellowship. So how do you do that? You can fellowship on the phone. And you can spend some time. I know the 20 minutes or 30 minutes that I spend with individuals on the phone, I leave encouraged and I leave excited about what God's doing in the people's life. You can share prayer requests. You can pray on the phone. You can all types of things. Talk about the things you learned during your prayer time or about the sermons, things like that. But be a friend. Be a friend to the rest of your church family. And be an encouragement and help where you can. I know some of you are still working. Some of you are super busy. I understand that. Don't miss out on the most important things, though. Don't miss out on the chance. Don't be thinking when Jesus says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? It's that question, could you not spend some time with me? It's key. And it's what's going to make you ready to face the rest of the battle. I know Jesus said he was going to deny him because he knew that. But I often wonder if Peter would have just humbly said, God, teach me how not to do that. Or if Peter would have watched and prayed, he could have learned something and maybe been ready to fight that battle. But because he wasn't ready, he failed. And that's what's going to happen in our spiritual lives. When we depend on our flesh, we are going to fail. Let us know if you need something. And remember, God is in control. See you Sunday morning. Looking forward to the services. Going to have another great question of the Bible either on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, evening service. It's a question that God asked Job. And it's a really, like I said, it's a great question. I think you're going to enjoy the sermon. So make sure you're faithful watching.